Let's all be seated.
Good morning. Our first case this morning, I hope I pronounced this correctly, is Stacy Marable versus the City of Minneapolis and the Minneapolis Public Housing Authority. The appellant will have 15 minutes for their argument in chief and 5 minutes of rebuttal. It's my understanding that the two respondents are splitting their time, 7.5 minutes each. And who will be going first?
Your Honor, Sharda Ensling here for the City of Minneapolis, and the city will be presenting argument first on behalf of the respondents.
Thank you. All right, then whenever counsel for the appellant is ready, just approach the microphone, adjust it to your level. The podium goes up and down. And then if you could just begin by telling us who you are in a loud, clear voice, please.
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning, Your Honors. This is an appeal from the Hennepin County.
Sir, could you just tell us who you are first?
Oh, I'm sorry, Your
That's
Honor.
All right.
John Shoemaker with Shoemaker & Shoemaker.
Thank you.
My brother and I represent Stacy Marble, the appellant, and her family. And this is an appeal from the Hennepin County District Court dismissing the 7 counts of the appellant's complaint. Important issues here before I get into just a short mention of the facts, but this decision of the District Court has in essence rewritten the landlord-tenant statutes as it relates to the right of tenants in Minnesota to request a local authority charged with enforcing the code claimed to be violated, here the city code, and the district court determining that the city was not the local authority charged with enforcing codes as it relates to the public housing properties of the appellant, but that the local authority was actually the Public Housing Authority of Minneapolis, but the district court determined that it was
who,
not.
As I understand it, say they don't do it either.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Who, as I understand it, the MPHA says they don't do it either for the city codes.
That's correct, and that's what the court mentioned in its
opinion.
So
the city is saying they don't do it for the city codes. The MPHA is saying they don't do it for the city codes. So the question that I imagine your client wants to know is who on earth is?
That's correct. The court below left unresolved the issue as to who, under 504B.185, subdivisions 1 and 2, is the local authority charged with ensuring that dwellings owned in the Minneapolis public housing portfolio are compliant with state and local codes.
How would that work? How would the city enforce the code against HUD? Let's assume there was a violation. The city finds a violation. Is the full authority of the city code available to the city to enforce against the MPHA and HUD?
That's a good question, Justice Ross. Here in this case, the fundamental initial question is, does 504B.185 provide a public tenant with at least the right to have an inspection?
Well,
and to get the inspection report if there are deficiencies
right,
noted by the inspector.
But the charged with a violation is the concern. So if the city has the authority, I assume at some point, well, I'll go ahead and state your position. Does the city have the full force of the city code to exert power over the MPHA if there's a code violation?
I believe that the federal law allows that, Your Honor. What I would point the court to is HUD's regulation in Title 24, Section 5.703. That's the Code of Federal Regulations, 24 CFR 5.703. That's the housing standards for public housing. But it's
right.
Clear HUD says there are minimum standards. There's
right,
no preemption.
That, getting to Judge Ross's excellent question, it certainly says... I guess I'm reading 5.7.03G. The physical condition standards in this section do not supersede or preempt state and local codes for building and maintenance with which HUD must apply. But the question Judge Ross is asking, the one I'm interested in, okay, so even the feds have to comply with the city code. who enforces, who do you call to get that done?
Under state law, it's the city inspector. I think the court needs to look initially at the partnership from 1937 on in the National Housing Act of 1937 after Congress had decided that they needed to have public housing around the country. They needed to partnership with states. So the Enabling Act in Minnesota was section or chapter 462 was replaced by 469. In 469.012, it says that all redevelopment authority housing projects, referring to the 1937 Act, shall be compliant with all zoning, health, building, fire, housing, all the codes that are there to ensure that the citizens of Minnesota have safety and sanitary housing. So as a matter of law, the state has an interest here in ensuring that the cities enforce the code, and the code is the state and the city codes. So the answer to Justice Ross's question is yes, the city does have authority to enforce. The question is, once the inspection is conducted, and if there are deficiencies noted, certainly, as the court well knows, MPHA and the city could confer and determine that there needs to be compliance without court order. If MPHA...
Well, isn't that what's happening here? I mean, it seems to me the city takes the position, don't call us, call them. And, you know, and I understand, you know, your client may not have been satisfied with the response of the MPHA, but, you know, it's not like they said, we're not coming either. You know, they did come, and, you know, at one point I believe your client, the roof was replaced. Couldn't we assume, based on the way the facts played out, that it looks like the MPHA is responsible for applying and enforcing the Minneapolis city codes, apart from, you know, who's the local authority? You know, does that not seem to be the way it's working? Or you tell me why I'm wrong, sir.
Well, first I would point to the language of 504B185, subdivision 1, which I mentioned earlier, requires the local authority to be charged with enforcing. Number 2, section 2 of that provision provides that the inspector is to do certain things, and the inspector is defined in 504B as basically an employee of a department of health or building, fire, that type of thing. So it's clear that the city is mandated by the landlord-tenant statutes to be the authority to enforce the code. But second...
No, and I get that, and God knows Mr. Rumpy's letter must have been a blessing when you found it, because he's saying, they don't work for me. So it sounds like under local authority designated down to authorized representatives, you know, down the chain of command, one thing he's saying is it's not the MPHA folks. Now, of course, the question is, that's his opinion, and, right, you know, that's not the law. But let me ask you this. Couldn't the city, if it wanted to, enter in some sort of agreement with the MPHA that says, you know, the MPHA agrees to comply with the city housing codes as federal law requires, you know, for purposes of, I don't know, federalism or you know, keeping the costs down, we're gonna delegate our authority under that statute you're talking about and our city housing codes so that the MPHA will enforce and apply them. And of course, the MPHA would then have to say, yep, that's right. I mean, is there something wrong with that framework?
Well,
that's
not
what... And I'm not saying it is.
Right.
I'm not saying that framework does exist, but it seems to me that would be a logical sort of approach to all of this.
I appreciate that insight, but I think the problem with that approach is it runs contrary to the landlord-tenant statutes, and including 504B185. And the problem
is, I think the problem with that approach is that agreement doesn't seem to exist in the record.
That's right. And there has been no delegation, no submission of evidence in response or in support of the motion to dismiss by MPHA or the city that there was a delegation under the Housing Maintenance Code to MPHA. And in fact, MPHA, in their motion papers below, said, no, we don't have any role in enforcing the code. The court even found that they had no role in adopting the code, enforcing the code. So there's no one there for the MPHA tenants. Now, Your Honor, you mentioned something about MPHA's response to the complaints that were made over a period of about a year by the appellant. And as you can see from the detail in the brief and in the complaint, there is an atrocious lack of concern and response by MPHA to very, very serious hazardous conditions, mold-filled houses. For example, the mold report by the appellant's private mold inspector was 21,000 spore count, and the remediation level required is only 1,500.
Well, focusing on the issue of the city, at least of the city's liability there, you referred to 5704, I believe it's 5704, 5703G. And just going back to the language there, the physical condition standards in this section do not supersede or preempt state or local codes. So it's the standards that don't supersede mm-hmm. local code. Mm-hmm. So why under this arrangement would the city have the authority to enforce its standards under this preemption language? It seems to me what the federal government is saying is we're not preempting the standards. It doesn't say anything about enforcement.
I think, Your Honor, you can look at the regulation you're mentioning as a minimum standard. That's what HUD announces, and then it says this doesn't preempt and it doesn't supersede.
Right. Why doesn't that simply mean we've got the HUD standards, and in addition to the HUD standards, you have the local standards? But that doesn't say anything about which entity enforces those standards.
It says that the HUD properties shall be subject to state and local codes, including maintenance codes, and then HUD in its...
You're talking in that same provision?
I think it does, Your Honor.
Well, it doesn't say subject to. It says that the physical condition standards in section do not supersede or preempt state or local codes with which HUD housing must comply. So the housing must comply with all of the HUD provisions mm-hmm. and also all the local provisions. But I'm not sure that in itself says that it's the local government, it's the city, that has the authority to force the federal government to do anything if there's a violation. Why wouldn't a tenant have to go exclusively to the MPHA to enforce both the federal and the state and the local standards?
I think the court can also look at the HUD Public Housing Occupancy Handbook, where HUD, it's not controlling, it's not like a federal regulation, but it gives some insight as to Congress's delegated agency, if you will's intent as to how the public housing subdivisions of the state
That's pretty far removed from a law. You go from a law to a regulation to a handbook. At some point, there's no authority at all.
But I think, Your Honor, if you look at the National Housing Act, it indicates that Congress was concerned about substandard housing. So the district court below said, if you subject the MPHA housing to city inspections and therefore enforcement and whatever else follows, what you're going to do is impede HUD's ability to provide housing. I submit that Congress was concerned about two things. One is available housing, but also not substandard housing, but quality housing, safe housing, just like the states were. So I think if you look at the traditional areas that states have police power in, which is landlord-tenant law, clearly the federal cases demonstrate that. The one in particular is the Housing Authority of Duluth versus Lee, which was cited in the briefs. The court clearly says you start with a presumption that there's no federal preemption, And you can apply the local rule, the local code.
Let's assume that the city inspects, finds code violations, not just here, but in all MPHA housing, and decides we're going to treat the MPHA like a slumlord. Does the city have the authority to shut HUD down and shut MPHA down entirely, as it would any other landlord under the housing code, a private landlord?
I believe that that's outside of the claims that are made here, Your Honor.
No, I know, but if the question is who has the authority to enforce the city code, that's part of the city code, isn't it?
Right. I would say that if you look at the three decisions, starting with the city, United States of America versus City of St. Paul, the Des Moines case, the City of Country Club, you'll see there that those were HUD-owned properties, not PHA-owned. There was a federal ownership there. They were vacant, unoccupied homes, not rental homes. And there the federal court said that any enforcement of a local code against those vacant properties that were being sold as is was interfering with the as-is quick sale. This is completely different. Those federal cases are distinguishable. I don't believe that they control.
Well, even if they are distinguishable, by what authority? You're suggesting then, regardless of the St. Paul case, mm-hmm. that the city would have the authority to exercise the same power over the MPHA and HUD that the city has the power to exercise over a private landlord.
I believe that they do under the federal and state statutes, and I believe that the court then would have to take into account the ability to pay timelines. Our tenant remedy case under 504B395, Your Honor, clearly provides the court at the district court level with the authority to balance all of the concerns, including elements that the court has mentioned here. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal, Mr.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir. We'll now hear from counsel for the City of Minneapolis, please.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Sharda Enslin. I'm an assistant city attorney for the City of Minneapolis here on behalf of respondent City of Minneapolis. As the panel is aware, we're here on appellant's appeal from the district court order dismissing all of the claims brought against the City of Minneapolis. Now, it is important to understand that all of those claims either flow directly or indirectly from appellant's erroneous position that the City of Minneapolis is the local authority under 504B.185. It is not. And as I'm sure you've seen in the briefing, as I'll explain further, the local authority under that statute is the Minneapolis Public Housing Authority.
Ms. Enslin, you heard the question raised earlier, implied,
yes.
I think Judge Connolly had asked it, and perhaps Judge Ross, what specific document in the record did the judge rely on that conferred that authority to the MHPA?
I don't know that Judge Klein referred to a specific document, but the district court ruling held that the plain language of the statute was clear, that local authority in its basic term, in this case, was the Minneapolis Public Housing Authority. And I think that
can I just clarify?
Yes.
Where in the statute, I mean, wouldn't we presume, starting before we just look at a house and assume that it's in the City of Minneapolis, that the local authority is City of Minneapolis, and it's only later we find out that it's a HUD home, and then hence we try to dig a little bit deeper. So the statute, I assume, doesn't address who has the authority to enforce the codes within the City of Minneapolis. It's some documents, laws together, separate from 185. That would enforce the codes as it relates to HUD housing.
Correct. I mean, the city is, like most municipalities, a city of limited government that is empowered only by local laws and its own charter. So independent of the authority that it has under 504B185, it does not have any other authority to go in and conduct inspections. So 504-185 only gives authority to the local authority.
Ms. Enslin, does the MPHA agree with you that they are the local authority?
I don't believe they do. So I do believe that is a dispute here on that issue. I do think it is possible to uphold the district court's ruling in its entirety, but
Well, I will tell you, speaking for myself, I've found it rather difficult. You know, here's the bottom line. It seems to me that if you're both pointing the finger at someone else, that would be enough to survive Rule 12. Unless, you know, I mean, either you are responsible for enforcing the city codes on MPHA property, which I agree with Judge Ross, would seem to be not the way I would look at it, not the way I would think, or they are. But someone, well, would you agree that someone has to be responsible for enforcing the Minneapolis City housing codes on MPHA property?
I don't necessarily agree, provided that they are encompassed in the HUD standards. So
seems to disagree with that. I think you lost me at that point. HUD expressly says that we've got these standards, HUD,
correct,
and we've got the city codes, which we're not trying to supersede. The assumption in that, isn't the assumption there that there may be city code restrictions that are more restrictive, more protective of tenants than the HUD regulations? Certainly more specific than the HUD regulations I've seen.
I think that that's possible, but I think that...
Well, it seems to be more than possible. As I understand it, the HUD regs are the floor, not the ceiling. And then HUD in these regulations specifically says, oh, and by the way, that doesn't mean we're not going to abide by, you know, the city codes. In fact, the language seems to suggest in the federal regulations that they specifically will. So the question becomes, who do you call? I got it that, you know, you certainly don't want to, your position is don't call us, and I got that. But you got to, would you agree, you got to be able to call somebody.
Well, I think that I do agree. You should be able to call somebody in this case, that somebody is the public housing authority. But I think we can look to the case, the U.S. versus St. Paul, too, to see the implications of what happens when...
Before we get to U.S. versus St. Paul, which I think is, I mean, parties have briefed it, I think, rather well. But does the city agree that there's no express language in federal law, in the federal regulations, in state law, or the city ordinances that expressly vest the MPHA with the authority to inspect MPHA property for city housing code violations?
It does not expressly authorize the MPHA. No, I would agree with that, yes.
Any language in any of those provisions of law that expressly divests the city of the authority to inspect and enforce city housing code violations?
No, it does not expressly divest the city. But the city does not have power independent of the power it gets under 504B.
If the city wanted to, could it go to the home of a resident on request and inspect for a violation to provide a report to the tenant?
Are we talking about a public housing? Public housing?
Yes.
I would argue that they cannot. They do not have the authority.
You're precluded. The city is not, as a matter of law, cannot go into the home upon the request of a tenant and inspect for code violations in order to provide a report.
We do not have the authority to do that under the law.
What is the statute that prevents, what is the law that prevents the city from saying, sure, Ms. Maripol or whoever else, you'd like us to come and inspect. We're not allowed to walk in your house. You've got the lease. We can't come in. We can't look at it. We can't provide a report. What is the law that you're pointing to that says you can't do that?
Well, if you look at 469.040, that's essentially what governs the relationship between how the city and public housing interact when it comes to things such as services, such as the request for an inspection. And so
that's where I would find this language that prevents.
That's where
city?
You would find my explanation, which is that whenever the city provides services, it does so using taxpayer dollars, and it does so in a way that it then levies back those services as it can to pay for those on behalf of the municipality. So, for example, if it were a private home and someone called for an inspection of their rental property, the city would be able to go in, conduct the inspection, do the report, and levy those costs back on the property owner. 569.040 precludes the city from being able to do that, and that is specifically because there are already funds allocated to inspection of public property and public housing, and those come through the federal government, and they go to the MPHA. So by requiring the city to then go in and do the same thing that the MPHA is already doing, not only are you ending up with duplicative efforts, but you're putting up forward city resources that are not recoverable in any way. And I see that my time is up, so I thank you very much for hearing our argument.
Thank you very, very much, Ms. Enslin. We'll now hear from counsel for the respondent, Minneapolis Public Housing Authority, please.
May it please the court, Ken Bayless on behalf of the Minneapolis Public Housing Authority. I want to address the court's question regarding, isn't this just a finger-pointing contest between the city of Minneapolis and the MPHA? And it's really not, because—
Well, let me, you know, to follow up on that, are you the, do you agree that you are the local authority?
No.
Do you agree that, do you have the authority to enforce the Minneapolis City Housing Codes on your property?
The HUD has the authority to enforce the Minneapolis public housing, or the city of Minneapolis codes against us. We do not contest that.
Where do I find that authority?
In federal law. The HUD controls.
Which one?
I'd look at 42 U.S.C. 1437. I'd look at 24 CFR 905.602. I'd look at MnSTAT 469.040. The entire framework that creates public housing is designed to accommodate this very issue.
Because just so that I'm clear, you, the MPHA enforces the Minneapolis City Housing Code on your MPHA properties.
Yes, the Minneapolis, the MPHA is required by law, by federal, by 5.703, to comply with the physical condition standards that are specified in the Minneapolis City Code. We agree to that. What we don't agree with is that the framework that's provided for in the city of Minneapolis as to how the enforcements are to take place applies to the MPHA, and it cannot apply to the MPHA because Congress has said it can't. And specifically what Congress has said is that cooperation agreements must be entered into between...
Where is the cooperation agreement in the record in this case? That's what I'm...
The cooperation agreement is found in the appendix for the MPHA at R29. I should point out that this is an exemplar cooperation agreement. The cooperation agreements that...
So I guess what does that mean? Is that is that the agreement between the city and the MPHA that says you have the authority to enforce the city housing code in this case?
Well, first of all, that's what Congress says, and that's what the Minnesota statute 469.040 say. But the particular cooperative agreement that I'm talking about is this one. The reason the exemplar is provided instead of the one that's applicable to these particular properties is we had to pull up really, really old documents, and you'll find them in the underlying record, but I put in the appendix one that you could actually read. And to see the way that Congress has set this out.
So where, what section, I've got RA 28 in front of me, Exhibit 6. What section should I be looking at that says you agree that you will enforce and the Minneapolis City Housing Code on your properties in the city of Minneapolis?
Well, if you look at RA 29-4C, it talks about, insofar as the municipality may lawfully do so, grant such deviations from the building code of the municipality as are reasonable and necessary to promote economy and efficiency and in the deliverance and administration of such project. This is the very essence of what Congress was doing when it passed the requirements for cooperation agreements. Congress said, we're not going to let you just run roughshod over our properties and charge us taxes and cause expense. You have to enter cooperation agreements. We're not going to give you the millions and millions of dollars and then have you use them as a revenue source. So they required these cooperation agreements. And then the state of Minnesota, in order to get the be able to get the money for its public housing authorities in 469.040 subdivision 1, adopted the provisions that talk about cooperation agreements. Furthermore, Congress, in the Housing Act, talks about the most flexible approach possible shall be used when interpreting these types of issues. I've cited that in my brief. There's a provision that talks about the purposes of the National Housing Act.
You know, in looking at, so you're saying, although I don't have an agreement in the record, this is kind of the agreement that we operate under to apply the city housing code.
Your Honor, we do have an agreement in the record. What I'm saying is I've only, because the agreement that applied, it's attached to my declaration below, but it's so hard to read that I took an exemplar that was easier to read.
You're saying it's identical in language?
It's identical language. So it is the agreement that applies. This language has been used in cooperation.
And the original one is in the record, you're saying?
Correct. It's attached to my declaration, and I think this is probably Exhibit 7 or 8 to my declaration, and it's the next declaration. We specify in my declaration which is the specific agreement that applies. This type of language has been used in cooperation agreements since time immemorial, and it's designed to accommodate just this type of issue. We are required by law. Congress has said that these physical condition standards apply to us.
The problem I have with that argument is, in looking at Section C, it says, insofar as the municipality may lawfully do so, okay, so right off the bat, mm-hmm. the question is whether they can lawfully do so, which would presumably require some delegation under the statute, grant such deviations from the building code, okay, so they can give you a break from the building code, as are reasonable and necessary to promote economy and efficiency in the development and administration of the project, and at the same time safeguard health and safety. How do you reconcile that language with the language in 24 CFR .5703 that says, the physical condition standards in this section do not supersede or preempt state and local codes for building and maintenance with which HUD housing may
physical condition standards. What it doesn't say is that the municipality has the right to superimpose a framework of enforcement over the PHA. It doesn't say that. It says the physical condition standards. So whether or not this specific type of flooring is fireproof, whether or not this particular...
Well, that's the physical condition standards. What about the interior housing code violation? What about the interior housing code that applies, you know, no rats in the building, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, they're required to comply with, first of all the federal requirements, which already deal with those issues, and then any additional issues that are raised by the state code. I'd like to point out that what's going on here is we're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. They can't even charge fees for their licensing program. It's contrary to federal law. Federal law provides
the city can't charge
the
fees.
The city can't.
So if
and
the
they
city
don't.
Can't, and the city can't charge fees for inspecting.
Correct.
So if the city can't charge fees for inspecting and the authority for the city to inspect includes this charge back to the landlord, why don't we then conclude that it's the MPHA with the duty and responsibility to inspect for the code standards that you acknowledge are required under the federal provision?
The city has the obligation, or the MPHA has the obligation of complying with the standards. As to the issue about I see my time is up.
But I'd like to.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
I'd like to know if the city can't, if the city authority to inspect granted by the state includes the right to recoup cost for the inspection. And the cost for the inspection by the city cannot be recouped when it's because of the federal role.
Right.
Then doesn't the duty to inspect, in order to make sure these standards are being met, these local standards are being met, fall on the MPHA?
MPHA has the obligation of complying with the physical condition standards. And if they don't, HUD can come down on them.
No, I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
But you're avoiding my question. The question is, who determines whether MPHA is meeting those standards? If there's got to be some inspection by someone, and if it's not the city, because the city can't recoup its costs for the inspection, why doesn't that fall upon the MPHA?
The MPHA does it, and then HUD checks their work. Is the
does
answer.
What? The inspection?
HUD make sure that the MPHA complies, and if they don't, if MPHA doesn't comply with the federal regulations,
HUD make sure. Who inspects to determine there's a violation of city code?
City code. Well,
first of all, the tenant reports to the MP.
Believe me, that's clear. She's been calling a lot of people. The question is, when she says there's a violation in my house of the city code relating to rats, okay, who comes out to make sure that the city code on rats is being complied with? Who inspects, and then who enforces that?
The MPHA comes out and checks that. If it's not in federal statute, they still come out and they still check it, even if it's a city issue.
So we're clear. When you say comes out and checks, you mean inspect.
Correct.
Okay.
And then if there's not compliance, if she's not satisfied, she has a right to file a grievance, and she's knows how to do that. We've seen that. She's filed many grievances.
So why isn't it then, based upon that, what you just said, why isn't it then the, at least for inspections, the MPHA that has the duty to inspect?
The MPHA doesn't have a duty under the statute. They have a duty under federal law to inspect those properties. And for the state to impose that obligation upon the MPHA would risk the federal funding that Congress has required.
So it sounds like you're saying no one has the authority, has the duty to inspect under the state statute, because the city can't do it. You've acknowledged that.
I'm saying they do have that duty, because any physical condition standards that exist must be complied with, so the MPHA must respond to that.
So the city has the duty to inspect and no right to recover cost for the inspection. I just want to be clear on what your position is.
Well, that's what Congress has said, I believe.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Council. We'll now hear from Mr. Schumacher. You'll have the last word, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just a couple of points as to the actual practical situation in Minneapolis. Minneapolis is inspecting MPHA properties. The separate answer of Michael Rumpy, the former director of housing inspections in Minneapolis, till a year and a half ago, his answer says that's in fact what was going on. There is MPHA exteriors are subject to 244 of the Minneapolis Minimum Maintenance Code. There's also a letter from MPHA, or HUD, I believe it is. It's in Mr. Bayless's declaration in the court below.
Is the city just eating those costs if the city can't recover for inspections of federal property?
The Housing Maintenance Code does not charge for initial inspections, Your Honor. And I think the city as well, that's in my brief and in the code provisions that I've provided. And I think the city will admit to that. There is no initial inspection charge. And there may not be even for the reinspection to see if there's been compliance with the actual order. Secondly, the
Is this big picture correct? You think the law requires the city to inspect, provide a report, even though the city may not have the authority to enforce a code violation against the MPHA. They have a duty to report, and I guess your client can then take that report to the federal government and say, look, HUD or MPHA, the city says you're in violation of city code, so you're violating 703G. Is that your position?
My position would be that would be a minimum, Your Honor, but I believe that there is enforcement power, and I think it's been recognized and admitted between MPHA and the city as it relates to the letters that support that, the separate answer of Defendant Rumpy. The cooperative agreement, if the court looks at the document that was referred to during Mr. Bayless's argument, and if you go to that same RA-29, and you go to paragraph 4, halfway down the page, you'll see near the end of that first paragraph, it states the municipality, without cost or charge to the local authority or the tenants of such project, other than payment in lieu of taxes, shall, and sub A provides, furnish or cause to be furnished to the local authority and the tenants of such project, public services and facilities of the same character and to the same extent as are furnished from time to time without cost or charge to other dwellings and inhabitants in the municipality. And that right there is an admission, I believe, on, for Rule 12 purposes, that in fact the public housing tenants and private tenants in the city, and as well probably homeowners, are all similarly situated as it relates to public services. The last thing that I'd like to point out is that the public services that were denied here, our position is it's the inspection by the city and the report by the city. And what the court down below has done is basically rewritten a number of the key provisions of the landlord-tenant statutes. If the court would look at 504B161, the mandatory habitability warranty, you'll notice in that particular provision that it refers to a violation of state and local codes, safety codes. And if you go to the tenant remedy action under 504B.395, you'll see that one of the key elements is to show a local municipality's Department of Housing or Buildings report as evidence. So what the court has done below is not only eliminated an inspection by the city, but it's basically jumbled up and eliminated and interfered with the 504B protections. State legislature has indicated are paramount and are necessary for all tenants in the state. And if you look simply, Your Honor, at 504B.275, the legislature said that the Attorney General was to give a notice in an annual pamphlet on the rights, summary of the rights of landlords and tenants, that public housing tenants, you may have additional rights, not other rights, you may have additional rights. I think that's key.
Were you able to find anywhere in the country a circumstance where a municipality was liable for failure to inspect a federal property?
I have not found such a case, and I think that's important to note is that this is a statutory provision in Minnesota. This is the first case of its kind here, I believe, as well in the country. We brought this these claims based on statutory and regulatory language. We believe, Your Honor, that the complaint below sufficiently stated the claims. We'd ask that the court would reverse and remand the case to the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schumacher. Thank you, Ms. Ensign. Thank you, Mr. Bayless. Ms. Ensign, when you see her next.